Welcome to the Become Nomad podcast. Whether you're already a nomad or aspiring to become one, we're here to supply you with relevant information to help keep you on the road for many, many years. I'm sending you my regards from Israel. I just arrived back home yesterday after an East European nomadic wave of 7 months with the highlights of the Ukraine and Moldova. This episode was recorded in Chisinev in Moldova. It's an interview with Johnny FD, the host of the Travel Like a Boss podcast. Johnny has already interviewed more than 100 successful digital nomads, so he has a lot of insights about what makes digital nomads and what makes the lifestyle sustainable. He also has some really good personal insights about connecting your nomadic lifestyle with hobbies and anchors, and some interesting tips about business and his own evolution of his nomadic lifestyle. So I hope you enjoy it. Johnny, thank you for joining us today. If you could describe to us the type of nomadic lifestyle that you have combined with a base in Thailand. So maybe if you can give us a quick picture about how does it look like, or where are you basically stationed, and how your nomadic waves kind of look like?
Yeah, so I actually went through two or three different kind of phases of being a nomad. So now I'm considered a digital nomad because I'm traveling and meeting with other location independent entrepreneurs, and I'm mainly working, I'm, you know, running businesses. But the first part of my nomadic journey was actually just for scuba diving. So I did the Dive Master program, and I just traveled around to different islands around the world and worked at different resorts or worked at different scuba diving centers. And it didn't pay a lot of money, but it allowed me to have the freedom of just traveling to the Caribbean or to Australia or around Thailand, around Asia. And I got to scuba dive in some of the best places in the world while, you know, being a nomad. So I just had a big backpack. Most of it was with scuba gear, so I didn't even have that much clothes or anything with me. And my second kind of trip was, or the second part of my journey, is I fell in love with Muay Thai, which is Thai kickboxing. And I started doing almost the exact same thing, but with kickboxing. So I would go to different gyms, mainly around Thailand, and I would live there, I would train there, I would fight for them. And doing that allowed me to, you know, stay at the gym for very cheap or for free sometimes, sometimes get free, you know, free training as well. So I never really made any money that at first 5 years while I was a nomad, but I think that's what I needed. I just needed a way to travel, a way to get to the next place.
Well, that's pretty cool because, you know, there are so many styles of nomadic lifestyle, and the more I dive into it, I see how everyone is doing it in a different way. And some people have those anchors, like you mentioned, the scuba diving and so on. And, you know, for example, Aaron, a good friend of mine, has the anchor of boat hitchhiking. Other people have anchors of bicycling or so on. So it's pretty interesting to see the central motive that is the nomadic lifestyle plus a small anchor, and it could be a hobby. And do you think it gives a little bit of structure when you actually do the nomadic lifestyle? Is it good to have a topic or a hobby that is kind of a central part of this lifestyle?
Yeah, 100%. And I think it made my life a lot easier knowing that my goal was to scuba dive at different places, you know, because it was almost like a theme or a motif. The only kind of warning I give people is if you get sick, if you don't enjoy that hobby anymore, just stop doing it and find something else. I think a lot of people are scared to stop doing it because they've invested all this time or money, and that's, you know, that's kind of who they become. You know, for a while I was the guy who would only wear scuba diving t-shirts. You know, I would only talk about scuba diving, and, you know, I was afraid that I was going to lose that, you know, that part of myself if I ever got tired of it. But the nice thing is there are so many hobbies that we haven't even discovered yet. And if it wasn't for me even taking that first trip out to Thailand and discovering, you know, scuba diving, literally taking a class called a Discover Scuba Dive class, which is a half day class, I never would have even known I liked it. And I, same thing with Muay Thai. If I didn't, you know, go to the gym and go in just, you know, for exercise, I never would have known that I wanted to learn how to fight. And it's one of those things where I really truly believe that every single person out there has undiscovered hobbies that they don't even know about yet. So just start wandering and find something. And if you find something, just keep doing it.
Oh, that's beautiful, you know. And I kind of, now that you mention it, I kind of think to myself, I don't have one, you know. I kind of have this lifestyle and I'm starting a few things. Like I started running lately and I'm very focused on the business as well. But I think that, you know, we all need anchors. And I mentioned the word anchor again. Finding those anchors kind of gives you a little bit of stability because you know basically what are you doing, what are the goals. Because a nomadic lifestyle, you know, it's so wide. You can go wherever you want, doing whatever you want to do. And if you have this Muay Thai or the scuba diving, at least you have some kind of a direction that you're saying, okay, I'm going here because, and you have actually a because. So, and that's a beautiful thing. So currently, what is your basic hobby in this period?
So recently I got into something called acro yoga, which is a type of yoga, like partner yoga. And who knows, I might love it for the next 3 years or I might get tired of it after a few months. So, you know, it's, but this is something I never even heard of until recently. And it can change. And that's what's so great about having this freedom is you have so much time to explore. And there's so many people that you meet traveling from all different cultures that will show you these cool things. But I would say, you know, aside from that, my main hobby right now is really building businesses. I really enjoy running my podcast, but also building all my e-commerce stores, running my blog, you know, and really just making money online because that has become a hobby. And it's a weird thing because most people hate work. And I used to not like my job too. When I had like a normal corporate job, I used to dread going to work. I used to look forward to the weekends or look forward to vacation. But now I actually look forward to sitting down in an office and getting work done. You know, I don't work 8 hours a day anymore. Sometimes I only work for a few hours in the morning, but I really enjoy that time. You know, I really enjoy when I actually sit down and do it.
Oh, that's pretty cool. First of all, you're lucky if you like what you do. And I think that's a common ground to every nomad that I speak with, that we have so much freedom that we can actually choose what do we do. Also, it's very rare to find a digital nomad that is saying, I hate what I do. Because we opt for freedom and for fun and for experience. So when you actually start this lifestyle, you have zero tolerance to doing stuff that you don't like, right? It's kind of coming together in a way.
Yeah, I think the best thing about building a business while you're traveling is we're forced to do it location independently. So even though when I start a new project, I might spend, you know, 40 hours a week working on it. But as soon as it's done, I can put it into maintenance mode. I can put it into kind of passive income mode. And that's what kind of my favorite thing to do is work really hard on something when I'm excited. And then once it's up and running, just not, you know, leave it and not touch it. And that way it can still make a couple $100 a month or a couple $1,000 a month and have it be one of my sources of income, but have it be something where I don't really have to think about or touch because either a VA handles it or it's automated or it's just, you know, something that is out there that I still get benefit from even months or years later. And if you look at any of my income reports, the first of the month and every month on johnnyfd.com, I write out exactly how much money I made from all my different income streams, whether it's Kindle books or Udemy courses or from my dropshipping stores, from, you know, my YouTube channel, you know, whatever it is, I list exactly how much I made from it and then how much time I've spent on it that month. And most of the time, for a lot of those, they're completely passive.
That's actually something that I always had problems with. I keep on working and working on something and trying to improve it and to improve it. And I think that the passive income model is something that all of us should aspire to because it gives us a little bit more free time. So that's actually something that I'm glad to see that it's working out for you. This is quite interesting. The latest trend of people who share their monthly revenue. At one point, it's a little bit of a sensitive information that one might be even embarrassed, especially when we start the digital nomad path. What did you gain from it, basically, from this situation that you're saying, okay, this month I made 2,000 or 5,000 and so on? Did you see anything change since you started doing that?
The biggest change I've seen is I'm now accountable to tens of thousands of people. So if I become lazy and I stop making money, or something, one of the streams dries up because I didn't look at it, or it just goes down for whatever reason, I feel embarrassed, not because my info is out there, but because I know I could have made it work and I let it, you know, die down, or I didn't put the effort into it. So it keeps him personally accountable. And actually, if nothing else, my income has gone up because I'm sitting down once a month, really looking at it, and then publishing it for everyone to see. And that has kind of forced me to think of new ways to make money, or, you know, or at least maintain the sources I have.
Beautiful. Accountability is a magic word, and it works. So that's a good one. I'm thinking now if I want to start doing it or not. I actually, you know, but that's a problem with accountability. When you actually say I'm going to share it, then your defenses are a little bit down, and starting is the hardest thing, I guess. So interesting.
Oh yeah, the first one I wrote was the hardest one, and now that it's been over a year, I don't remember how many exactly I have now, but it's definitely more. It's been more than a year now, and now it's easy to share because I'm so used to it. Everything's out there already, and it's almost one of those things where the more transparent you are, the more you put out there, like the less people misunderstand you, you know. So they kind of, you know, they, you know, before, if you kind of have everything yourself, people don't really understand what you're doing or how you're doing it. They either assume it's like some kind of magical thing or something they can't do, or, you know, something weird even. But once you put everything out there, they're like, oh, you know what, I can see why this works, and they can see them doing it for themselves. And what's even better is I think once you start putting yourself out there, you get more opportunities. So I'll have people privately message me or contact me, you know, really openly about their projects or things that they want to work on with me. Because I'm so transparent, they feel like they can be transparent with me as well.
I wanted to ask you about, why do most digital nomads actually have a blog or a podcast? And I have to say, I have a blog and a podcast now as well. It's interesting to see that, and I never thought about having one before I started this lifestyle. Not the thought even didn't cross my mind. Do you have any theory as to why people are going this way, and why, let's say, more than 50% of us actually have this some kind of a broadcasting channel?
Yeah, I think it's for two reasons. One, it's lonely being a digital nomad, or a nomad in general. You know, sometimes we're surrounded by lots of travelers or lots of other people, but we're away from our family, we're away from our close friends that we grew up with. So we like to have a way to share, not only with them, you know, almost in hopes that they will read it or listen to it. I know I started my blog because I wanted my close family friends to read my blog. And I don't know if they actually do or not, you know, but that's my hope. Every time I write a blog post, I hope they will read it. And it's a way for me to connect with them. You know, at least I'm doing my part of trying to keep in touch or staying in the loop. I think also the second part is people don't really know how to start some kind of online business. So they just start with the blog because it's kind of the easiest, most straightforward thing. I think in the long run, the reason why it was all beneficial and wasn't really necessarily a waste of time is because I learned a lot of skills. I learned how to, you know, structure blog posts that people like to read. I learned how to write quickly and, you know, put my thoughts on paper. So it has helped me in the long run. But I think if I also knew how to monetize things better back then, I would have made money sooner.
Gotcha. And now that when you actually think about what is your main media now, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the podcast. It's not the blog anymore, right? The center, the gravity has shifted to the podcast.
Yeah, definitely. I get more, I would say I get a similar amount of visits to my blog as my podcast, but if you think about it, when someone's on my blog, they might look at it for 20 seconds and skim through. They might read it for, you know, 10, 20 minutes. But in general, you know, they look at it, they might look at one or two posts, they only spend a few minutes. When someone downloads an episode of the Travel Like a Boss podcast, it's an hour long and they listen to it, you know, and then they might listen to another podcast and they might listen to another one. So on average, you know, I'm sure some people, you know, they get busy or they click through it, you know, but in general, people listen to the whole episode and then they listen to multiple episodes. So people are engaging for hours at a time versus minutes.
Yeah, the key word here is engagement. They simply feel like you're their friend or something, and it's a lot more personal. So I guess there is no one, let's say if we advise digital nomads that want to do either a blog or a podcast, would you have an advice, or you would say it's really dependent also if you like writing or you like speaking?
You know, that's actually a great point, where some people are great at writing, but they feel uncomfortable being on the microphone, or they might have a heavy accent that, you know, it's difficult for people to understand, or, you know, whatever it is. So a blog for them might be better. Some people, you know, might feel more comfortable on video, so maybe a YouTube channel would be the best. I actually think that people should play to their strengths. And it's weird because I actually really enjoy talking. You know, I think when I was in school, I used to always get in trouble for talking too much. So obviously that was kind of a natural skill I've always had. And blogging was never really a natural skill. I never really wrote that much in school or as a kid. But with time, I think I enjoy it equally now. And so I think for me, I do both. So I do think it's something that you can get good at. But at the same time, you have to find your medium and say, okay, where should I focus my efforts? You know, what am I naturally good at? What do I naturally enjoy already? Let me just focus on doing that. But in general, a blog is easier to start because you need less equipment. You know, you can start a blog for, you know, free or for like a couple of dollars a month if you want to do the proper route and do like a WordPress blog versus a podcast. There is some startup costs. I actually wrote a post about it on johnnyfd.com, how to start a podcast. And I list all the equipment I use, the hosting service I use. And in it, I tell people, say, you know, don't try to do the free route, because I lost a lot of reviews as well as listeners or subscribers when I changed from the free hosting for my podcast to a paid one. Even though it's supposed to be seamless, it's not.
Yeah, my story was basically that, you know, I started writing and I figured out that I hate writing. So I had to escape to another channel, and I'm better at speaking. You know, it's not my native language anyway, but I guess, yeah, it's exactly, every person has to see where they feel most comfortable at. And it's a constant evolution, just like the nomadic lifestyle itself. So that's pretty interesting stuff. And since you've interviewed so many nomads, maybe you have a few of them that come to mind that you say, okay, those are, you know, because I'm trying to figure out what is the, let's say, the successful nomad or the people who actually are doing it in a sustainable and very happy way. Are there some people that come to mind? And if so, why is it, or what is special specifically about them?
So now that I've had 100 episodes, I pretty much have close to 100 digital nomads that I've interviewed on Travel Like a Boss podcast, because I normally only interview people who are successful already. And the requirement is they have to be some kind of, you know, location independent entrepreneur. And I would say, kind of listening to all of them and talking to all of them, I think what they have in common is people just get started. You know, I think that's the biggest problem with most people, is they kind of collect information and they never just start. And it's not always the best idea in the world. maybe some people aren't, you know, they could have done it a different way, maybe easier, faster. But I think in general, you know, the people who have been done well they've just started. They just, you know, said, you know what, let me go ahead and try this. You know, let me figure it out on, you know, along the way, versus the people who kind of sit around and they have excuses all the time. Those people, you know, end up never doing well. Some of the most successful people that I've had on my podcast, I mean, just kind of going through, I mean, pretty much every single person is doing pretty well. But you know, I've had Sean Lee on here, who makes like $25,000 a month from his YouTube channel. You know, I had a guy named Archie Jetter, who's episode 62, who, you know, he had a $100,000 a year paycheck from his business, from, you know, working a corporate job, and he quit to start an online business and travel. And he started like a solid cologne company while traveling around. So these are all people I actually met while traveling, most of them in Thailand. And yeah, all of them just started. So I would say, if you guys are listening to this and you have an idea, you know, or if you heard of something that may work, you know, just go for it. You know, dedicate 3 months or 6 months and say, I'm not going to give up until I make my first sale. You know, I'm not going to have any excuses.
Nice. And did you see any correlation between business success and nomadic lifestyle, staying on the road for a while, to personal characteristics? So you kind of mentioned now the ability to start, to have the courage, probably the persistence as well, to keep grinding until it basically works. Is there anything else that when you talk to people, when you connect to them on the personal level, you see that they have some kind of a common thing that basically allows them to stay on the road and keep happy on the road, which is not something that is that easy?
You know, you would think that the people who are successful are all extroverts, but it's not the case. You know, I'm like looking at my episode list, and a lot of people are actually introverts. Some people are a bit more quiet. Some people, you know, people are all from different cultures. So that's actually not the case. You know, like, it's really anybody can make it work. I do say that, you know, the people that are successful, they will network, you know, they will go to meetups, you know, whether they're the life of the party or, and, you know, they're very talkative or not, at least they'll say, okay, I understand it's important to meet other people. So they will work out of co-working space instead of working from home. They will go to, you know, like a meetup, you know, whenever there is one.
That's a really good one, because, you know, if you're a digital nomad and you're traveling from one place to another, you don't have a lot of time. We're social animals in the end of the day. So you don't have a lot of time to actually know people. And if you're not going to the co-working space and if you're not going to meetups, you're pretty much going to be alone, especially if you're going to leave soon to another place. So correct me if I'm wrong, you do see some kind of a correlation between, let's say, the social life and also the success, as the happiness and business, right? Social life is an important ingredient for digital nomads.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and the more you travel, the more you kind of need to be around other people, which is why it's so nice to have podcasts like yours and mine, where even if, you know, you're going somewhere where you don't know anyone, at least in your earbuds, you can listen to, you know, other people, you know, who have the same interests and hobbies, talk about it. So when I'm on a long plane ride or on a bus or on a train, I'll listen to podcasts with other digital nomads or other entrepreneurs, and I feel like I'm making that social connection, even though I'm not the one talking.
So let me ask you the question I always ask people, and that's one tough question, by the way. It's a question of definitions. How would you define either a digital nomad or a nomad? Do you have anything that can put someone in a criteria of location free or digital nomad or nomadic lifestyle? Did you ever think about this? And can you give us some kind of a definition?
Yeah, easy. So a nomad in general is someone who has an option to not go back home. So they don't have responsibilities back home. They don't have debt. They don't have a mortgage that they need to pay off. They don't have, and you have a car that they need to move because of street cleaning. You know, people who are just traveling on vacation, they have a limited time span. They're like, I cannot go for more than a month, or I cannot go for more than 2 months. And then if they decide that they want to become a nomad and they want to permanently move, they would have to go back, sell their stuff, or get rid of their responsibilities and then go back again. And honestly, that was me the first trip. You know, I went for 3 weeks and I had all the stuff at home. I had, you know, I had a lease for the house I was living in. I had two cars at the time that, you know, you have responsibilities to take care of the car and to pay insurance and all this stuff. I had, you know, a house full of stuff that I had to take care of. You know, I had all these things. So I was not a nomad yet. But when I went back and I sold all of that stuff, I got rid of all these things, I broke the lease, and I went back to Thailand, that's when I became a nomad. As far as a digital nomad, I would say it's somebody who can actually make some money, you know, at least, and, you know, there's different levels of success, you know. Obviously, it'd be nice if everyone could make a full-time living while traveling. And some people would call that, like, let's say a true digital nomad, someone who actually makes a full-time paycheck, you know, so something maybe equivalent to what they were making back home, or at least, you know, the equivalent of able, you know, so they're able to pay, you know, to live in whatever country they want, and maybe not necessarily have savings, but be able to buy a plane ticket to the next place. If someone who is, you know, not making any money, they're just starting out, they're blogging or they're doing something, they're not actually earning income, I would say they're more of an aspiring digital nomad. I think the term is very sexy, so people like calling themselves digital nomads more than they like calling themselves a backpacker or traveler. But if someone really wanted the definition, you know, unfortunately, the term digital nomad really means someone who actually makes money while traveling abroad.
Sustaining themselves basically on the move. And do you think there is any definition to the frequency of travels or to the amount of places a person is basically seeing, let's say, annually?
No. And I actually think that, you know, I mean, it's a very loose definition of what is a digital nomad. Does it mean you have to travel all the time? Some people don't enjoy, you know, being on a plane all the time. I really like being in Chiang Mai. That's why I'm there most of the year, you know. But I think the reason why I qualify as a digital nomad is because if I wanted to, I could relocate somewhere else and my life would be exactly the same. You know, I can move to Berlin. I can move to you know, Central America, South America. I can move to wherever, and my business would still work. It would still be exactly the same as it is now. And when I have to make a visa run, I'm not just taking a bus to the border, and you know, because I can't afford to fly somewhere. I think that's kind of one of my biggest regrets, is spending so many hours sitting on these minivans, you know, for 8 hours at a time, sometimes 12 hours on a bus, just to save $50 because I was, you know, I was either too cheap or I couldn't afford to fly to another country. Now, if I have to make a visa run, so every 2 months or 3 months in Thailand, I have to leave the country. And now I'll say, you know what? Let me make the most of it. Let me go see another place. Let me go meet some people. Let me go check out a new co-working space. Let me go a new dive site and go scuba diving somewhere. And I would say, you know, that should be people's dream. You know, people's dreams should not be, what is the cheapest way I can get another stamp for my visa and come straight back, you know, even if it involves sitting on a bus for 15 hours.
You basically took a disadvantage, which is the necessity to leave the country and to come back, and you actually leverage it into making something bigger than that. I have the same thing, you know, that basically as tourists, you can usually stay only 2 or 3 months. And I kind of look at it as a blessing in disguise, because it keeps me pushes me to keep on traveling, which is something pretty cool, because I think that quite easily I would stay in a place for a year if I would like it. And actually this limitation of you have to keep on moving, because legally you have to keep on moving, sometimes pushes you into doing stuff you wouldn't do in another scenario. So that's pretty cool. I want to ask you something that is very, you know, most nomads are thinking about the element of non-community or loneliness. Is there really a digital nomad community, or when people go on the road, they would kind of be alone? What would you say on the topic of loneliness and community in general?
I think the reason why Chiang Mai is so popular for digital nomads is there really is a true community. We have something called the Nomad Coffee Club in Chiang Mai, where every Friday we meet up just for coffee. So you can meet other people, other travelers, other nomads. And then we usually have one person speak about whatever topic that they're good at. And it really feels like a community, because the speakers will really share, like, really deeply, you know, what they're doing, what's working.
It's very important to choose the right location, right? Because I'll give you an example. I'm in Chisinau in Moldova now. There is no digital nomad at site. There will not be also. And that's okay. But half of 66% of the solution is basically to pick the right location in a way, no?
Yeah. And, you know, the only downside of Chiang Mai is because it's so comfortable and because the community is so good, it kind of prevents people from exploring other countries as much. And I think it's kind of slowing down the growth of other nomad destinations, even though they could be also really great. So I'm happy that I'm in Chiang Mai. I really like it. But I'm going to try to spend more time in places like Berlin, or maybe I'll check out like Sofia, Bulgaria or somewhere, you know, and hope that these places slowly grow as well.
That's cool. So Chiang Mai is basically the Mecca, the current Mecca of the digital nomad community around the world. That's like the capital, the global capital.
100% without a doubt. And anyone who says otherwise hasn't spent enough time in Chiang Mai, because I've been to a lot of other supposedly hotspots for digital nomads, and you'll get there and you'll meet like 5 or 10 people. But in Chiang Mai, you won't bump into 5 or 10 people walking down the street, you know, just in any of the near any of the co-working spaces or any of the cafes. And you can literally just sit in a coffee shop and you'll probably end up meeting someone.
Amazing. So basically, you would advise to anyone who starts a digital nomad path and concerned about the community aspect to start in Chiang Mai.
Yeah, 100%. It's super cheap to live there. It's super easy to get there. I wrote a big blog post called Johnny's Guide to Chiang Mai for Digital Nomads. You can find it on johnnyfd.com.
So a personal question now. Do you have any intentions in the future to change the lifestyle? And by the way, did you ever think during those years to change? Did you have those spots where you might have got this attachment or some thinking or a mild depression like everyone gets, and you kind of thought, okay, a change is needed, or this has been kind of a smooth ride?
No, 100%. Every few months, actually, I feel like I need a change. And I think that's why it's also good that we are forced to leave the country every few months. And I think for a while, I was a little bit stuck, you know, either because of like relationship obligations or because of financial, you know, obligations, where I was like, I can't really afford to go to Europe because it's so much more expensive. And I think finally, because I've been putting in so much work and my income has gone to a point where, you know, I can go to a place like Berlin where it's a little bit more expensive. This summer, I'm going to spend as much time in Europe as I can, because I do want that change of pace, you know. But I think I'm going to keep Chiang Mai as my home base because I really like it there. You know, I'm just going to keep my apartment there. So even though I have been getting a little bit too attached to Chiang Mai and, you know, accumulating a little bit too many things to really, you know, be able to put everything in my backpack and just travel like a nomad, I'm kind of more of a hybrid now, where I have a home base in Chiang Mai, but then I'll go and spend a few weeks or a few months somewhere else with just a backpack.
So basically, let's do the last question, which is, you've been interviewing a lot of nomads, you know, kind of, you get the pulse of this trend. Do you have any expectations as to the future? Do you see any trends? What will happen in 1 year, 2 years, maybe 5 years? Will it grow? Will it decline? Will it stay the same?
It is absolutely going to grow. I think it's going to grow exponentially. And I'm so lucky that I was there kind of, you know, from the beginning. I think when I started, the term digital nomad wasn't even popular. You know, we would find each other by searching on, you know, random places for like interests, like business or like 4-hour work week. Now that the digital nomad scene is becoming big, and it's becoming bigger and bigger and bigger, I really truly believe it's going to blow up and it's going to grow. And the good thing about it is, I think even though there's going to be a lot of people that are new, that are just starting out, there are going to be digital nomads who, you know, build $1 million businesses. You know, it's not going to be just a way to bootstrap and make couple hundred dollars a month to be able to live in a cheap place like Thailand. I really genuinely believe in the next few years, you know, people are going to make, you know, there's going to be a lot more digital nomads making over $100,000 a year while location dependent. And then some of them are going to build big enough companies where, you know, they can become a millionaire one day.
Cool. That's a good vision. And I hope to see this happening. There are a lot of them that are currently creating really cool stuff, and you're one of them. So it's great to see that it's not only a hobby or a hipster lifestyle, but something more sustainable. And basically, Johnny, where can people keep in touch with you or connect to your work?
If people want to find my podcast, it's called the Travel Like a Boss podcast. They can find it on iTunes or your favorite podcast app, wherever you listen to this one. Or you can just go to my website. It's johnnyfd.com.
Excellent. So thanks a lot for taking the time and sharing the information. I'm going to do some changes in my nomadic lifestyle following this conversation. So it's been very... very good, and thank you.
Oh, you know, I'm curious what those are.
those will be basically the hobby. I kind of figured out in the beginning when I spoke with you that I need this anchor as well, some kind of a special hobby that I combine with the nomadic lifestyle. So now I have to choose one, and we'll see what it's gonna be.
All right. Well, best of luck in 2016, and everyone, thank you for listening.
Great, so that's all for today. Please consider giving us a review on iTunes, and if you want to read the show notes of these episodes, feel free to go to becomenomad.com and you're going to have some kind of a transcription of the episode. On the site, you can also subscribe to our nomadic newsletter and get some personal updates from me every month. Enjoy your week.